Hello everybody, welcome back for another video. Hope you're all doing well and that you're all having a great day. Welcome back for another weekend video where I take things a bit slower, or rather I go over news that I passed over during the week. I didn't get a chance to really discuss because I already make so many videos and there's always a large amount of news that I end up missing. So this is usually the chance where I have I take the time to talk a bit slower and kind of go over things. There's going to be a lot of opinions in this video. These opinions that are going to be expressed are definitely my own opinions. Oh, a quick side note about yesterday's video. I have never seen so many comments about a microphone. It's actually quite interesting. So this is the normal microphone that I normally use. I'm pretty sure you all get that by this point. I'm sure you can hear it. But the other microphone that I purchased is going to be a travel microphone. It's not my new everyday microphone that I'm going to be using all the time. I think there were some bit of confusion about that because I mentioned in the video that it was going to be like my part-time microphone, but I guess a lot of people maybe didn't pick up on that. It's pretty much if I have to go somewhere if I'm traveling for around 2 to 3 days so that I'm actually still able to make a video and that I'm not making anything about the news that's happening, I have that travel microphone because the microphone that I'm currently talking on weighs a couple kilos, a couple pounds, probably more than most microphones should actually weigh. It's quite heavy. So if I'm traveling, I have to pack the entire thing up. It's like a 5-minute procedure to kind of rebox it into the thing so that it doesn't get damaged during transport. I had another one like this before and it actually did get damaged as I was transporting it because parts of it are very fragile, especially the pop filter so that it doesn't make my peas sound as strong. But yeah, the other one that I have, the sound quality is actually excellent on that. So I was kind of confused why so many people were not complaining, but talking about that it sounded absolutely horrible. I made sure that I did research before I actually bought it. I, for like weeks, made sure that it would sound okay. I know that there's a bit difference in my voice, obviously, because of the microphone quality. But that is just my travel microphones. If I'm gone for 2 or 3 days somewhere and I'm not at home, I will be using that one. But for the sake of argument, this will always be the normal microphone until they create something better, cooler, or newer, or more compact that does the exact same thing as this one. Just thought I'd share that for a moment because I was shocked at how many comments there were about a microphone. Anyway, the first thing that we're going to be talking about today is Craig Wright comes up, I think, a number of times in this video. For those who don't know who Craig Wright is the one of the main advocates, if not the voice, for what is now known as Bitcoin Cash, Satoshi's Vision, or sometimes just known as BSV or BCHSV. I mentioned in my last video that I was talking about stuff, and I said I think it's interesting how, one, I said that crypto needs to grow up. That's definitely something that still stands. But the fact that there are so many major figureheads in the cryptocurrency space who act like teenagers, and I don't really understand why. For those who don't know who Andreas Antonopoulos is, he is, if Bitcoin had a face, he would be it. You know, Ethereum has Vitalik Buterin, XRP has Brad Garlinghouse, Cardano has Charles Hoskinson. Bitcoin, as it is, as we do not know who Satoshi is, Andreas has pretty much become the face. He's, you know, whenever there's like a discussion or something happening, a panel somewhere, he's usually flown out and he is the voice of reason as to why people should use Bitcoin or exactly what Bitcoin is so that people have a bit of a better understanding as to exactly what it is. Kind of just goes from there. Craig Wright has recently stated that he's a couple of things, which I'll also hop into in a second, pretty much pertaining to Andreas Antonopoulos, saying that he's kind of working on the wrong side. Craig Wright, who was one of the most controversial commenters in the crypto space, came up with a direct criticism against Andreas Antonopoulos, one of the most prominent Bitcoin evangelists. Antonopoulos, who supports the current vision of Bitcoin, goes against the more extreme ideas of Dr. Wright, who sees the need to take over the Bitcoin network to achieve what he sees as the original version of Bitcoin. I try my best to stay away from crypto politics. I think at this point it's actually completely impossible because at its core, if we only just had Bitcoin, that would be something completely different. What it kind of comes down to is that we have multiple versions of other protocols that believe that they are Bitcoin. We have other coins who are considered altcoins, who think that they are better, quicker, or faster than Bitcoin. So it's It's completely impossible. I, for what it's worth, I'm pretty sure if you've seen my other videos, I stay as close to the center as possible to make sure that I, you know, I fail a couple times. I'm only human. I try to give a very like objective thing for every single project. There are certain projects that I just simply don't like. And it's not, I think people get confused with me not liking projects and trying to say to stay like central or in the middle of everything. It comes down to certain projects, and I'm not going to name them. They are just complete trash. I don't talk about them on purpose, and I think people get upset that I don't talk about them because they think I'm trying to shill other projects. And it's like, no, if you look at even just the normal facts, I'm not going to tell people or promote a project or talk about the possibility of you potentially putting your money into a project that has like $10,000 trading volume going through it as opposed to another one that has like $6 billion. There's just not going to be any time soon where I'm telling you to look at a coin because other people are mentioning it in the comment section. So when it comes down to a conversation like this, I have my own thoughts as to exactly what this all could mean or what it should mean. What it comes down to, at least in this argument, is that Craig Wright believes that Bitcoin Cash SV, Bitcoin Cash Satoshi's vision, is the real Bitcoin, and that anything that the number one Bitcoin core, the coin that we have, the number one, anything that it does is completely wrong because it goes against Satoshi's vision, which is kind of weird because Craig Wright also believes that he calls himself Satoshi Nakamoto, which is kind of the weirdest part of all of this. Like you wouldn't name a coin Satoshi Vision. You would kind of just call it like Bitcoin MV, like Bitcoin My Vision. So this is also another thing for those who aren't looking at the screen. Craig Wright recently called Andreas Antonopoulos an SHIT coin expert, which is, if you've ever heard Andreas Antonopoulos, regardless of if you like him or not, he's clearly very intelligent. He knows exactly what he's talking about. He's written a book called Mastering Bitcoin, not promoting it. He's also written another book called Mastering Ethereum, where he pretty much just goes into detail exactly like why these protocols and these coins are going to be used. He's even said before, Andreas has said before in the past, he said, even if it's not Bitcoin, the idea is that the idea is out there. Should every single crypto be completely wiped away by a storm, something else will arrive the next day because the idea of a decentralized world is already there. So part of the arguments for those who maybe just really don't get it, I've noticed a lot of people who are relatively new to the cryptocurrency space may not really get it. A lot of you may just be here because you heard that Bitcoin was cool, or someone may have recommended you to the cryptocurrency space. The main argument comes down to the fact that Bitcoin, the number one coin that we have right now, does not plan to do any on-chain scaling. So you know what a blockchain is. You know, it's the thing that makes up the network, all the transactions. Everything that's supposed to make Bitcoin quicker is going to happen off-chain or is going to be a side chain. If you speak English as your first language, you should get what a side chain is or off-chain means. It won't happen on the main chain, and this is why we have something called the Lightning Network. Lightning is going to make Bitcoin capable of handling 1 million transactions per second as time goes along and the network becomes more robust. You also have a lot of people who believe that any type of thing that is not on-chain goes against the vision of Satoshi Nakamoto. Part of the problem is that as we have not really heard from Satoshi Nakamoto since around like 2010, 2011, no one really knows what Satoshi's vision actually is. So like I said, I try to stay in the middle. It's just more to let you know exactly what the argument is. My entire thing, the entire time, if you look at it from a logical standpoint, and I know this is going to get a couple people angry, it doesn't really matter. And I mean, if the entire point is to have a decentralized world, to have a world where we have control over our money, where we aren't controlled by governments, where we, the people, are once again in control of finance, or maybe for the first time ever in history, I think if any coin is capable of doing that and getting us to that spot, then maybe the end justifies the means, if you kind of get what I'm saying. This is, once again, this is just kind of my opinion. I think there's so much nitpicking and everyone can complaining and arguing with each other as to what they think is the actual correct answer or what is the correct coin. For what it's worth, if you want my opinion, a lot of people seem to want to hear my opinion on certain things like this. I think there is no, my opinion, no possible future in which Bitcoin Cash Satoshi's vision is going to be ever called or ever become the number one Bitcoin. I don't think there's a point at any time in the future where I'm walking into a shop and they ask me how I want to pay and I answer them, I'm going to pay in Bitcoin Cash Satoshi's vision or BCHSV. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Craig Wright has kind of missed the mark. If you kind of will, I kind of feel the same exact way with Bitcoin Cash as well. I think Bitcoin Cash had its own time in the spotlight already, but Roger Ver also is just completely not there. There's a certain way to go about promoting things. There's a certain way to, if you have the chance and the clout and the opportunity and the know-how to create your own Bitcoin, and you waste an entire year just arguing with other people and having press conferences where you talk down to other people as you're sitting on stage, or you have like video chats and you like put up your middle finger to them, you kind of miss your point. It's a very weird situation that we have, where I think in order for crypto to mature, I think a lot of these people have to like disappear from the spotlight. They simply don't like, if you, I was talking to another friend who's really into crypto. It's very rare, I know. Not many people have friends who are actually like deeply into crypto. We were talking about the actual future of the cryptocurrency space and how to make it better. And it comes down to so many people in the cryptocurrency space. If we just didn't hear about them anymore, if we had a situation where we, like the top 30 coins, if about 7 different coins disappeared, I'm not going to mention the names of these coins. I'm pretty sure you can gather from my last 700 videos exactly which coins these are. If these coins could disappear, crypto, without even needing to be integrated into Wall Street, I think would have a better face for itself, a better name for itself. It would look a lot more cleaned up. I know, and I also just learned this a couple weeks as well. Apparently, there are a lot of people in the cryptocurrency space who like things to be unruly and I guess like anarchic in the cryptocurrency space, so that it kind of looks this way, which I myself find very interesting. Like I said, there are going to be a lot of opinions in this video, simply because if crypto continues this way in 2 years, crypto has no future. There's a reason why the big wigs and the very rich people have kind of stepped in, because they see the potential for it. And I think it's weird that even the people who are into cryptocurrencies don't understand the true potential of how big crypto could be. We do have a system right now that's built up. If we got to a cryptocurrency market cap as a whole last year was, what was it, $800 billion? $3 trillion isn't that far off from that. Like, we got that far with just normal people being in the cryptocurrency space. We could be a multi-trillion dollar asset class, but we will not get there in any way, shape, or form with the current people who we have in the space. There was a while where I didn't really care for Andreas Antonopoulos, and it was simply because I got tired. I think there was a point for about a couple of months, I got very tired of the whole Bitcoin narrative. I got tired of the Segwit 2x argument. I got tired of the idea of the birth of Bitcoin Cash. When Bitcoin Cash came out, the Bitcoin price also crashed a bit because of the splitting of something that was never ever supposed to split. I think it's just maybe what it comes down to is a lot of it has to come to human greed and human deitism. That's not a word. I think it's people who maybe, I don't know. It could be just people who think that they're on the earth for something like greater than what they actually are there for. Like, they have like a higher purpose, and this is why they create these things. I mean, to be honest, if you think, I don't know, it's all kind of weird. Like I said, these are all my opinions. This is kind of how I feel about it. As time has gone on, I haven't been into crypto since the very beginning of it, but I've been here long enough that I've seen the separation of minds from certain projects. Like, these people who used to work together who were, I could only assume, relatively good friends, kind of branching off from each other, and kind of, you know, name calling is completely unnecessary. If you're over realistically the age of 21 at this point, and you're still using words like this to talk about someone who's in the same exact field as you are, you discredit yourself highly. Anyway, this is something that happened relatively recently, and I don't think it's going to happen, or rather, I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. But these people line themselves up to become very irrelevant in the future. You cannot have a future in the cryptocurrency space. As crypto begins to mature, as even you right now who's listening to this, 5 years from now, You won't probably be listening to Craig Wright or Roger Ver or anyone else who hypes up their coin or goes on to discussions where they stream at other people, simply because you'll get tired of them talking about things that don't really matter. Like, if the point of cryptocurrencies is to, like I said, be decentralized, to have this system, like we have the know-how and the knowledge and the workings right now to make, even if we just focus on Bitcoin, as this is a Bitcoin topic, to make Bitcoin probably one of the largest things that humans being will ever see in their entire lives. Imagine if we had the brain power or imagine if we had like the brain power or the usefulness of Craig Wright and Roger Ver, and they just promoted Bitcoin. And when they spoke about increasing the Bitcoin network, if they just built simply on top of Bitcoin, or they made side chains or other layered solutions that would make Bitcoin a lot quicker to and faster and more scalable to actually what they believe Satoshi's vision actually is, as opposed to creating their own coin. When you create another coin, what's going to end up happening is, and I'm almost certain of this at this point, in 5 to 10 years from now, when we do have books written about the history of cryptocurrencies and the history of Bitcoin and the history of where things are in the future and how far we've come, these are going to be like the really weird like pets.com situations where these people had a chance to really make a huge name for themselves, and instead they kind of collapsed under their own genius that they thought they had. I'm trying to be nice. But there's no need for all these arguments and stuff like that. I'm tired of talking about this. But it's something that keeps popping up, so it's constantly there. But let us move on. Although this one was kind of interesting. According to someone named Adam Dodds, the founder of new and emerging fintech company called FreeTrade, he said apparently that he thinks that crypto is a bit of a gateway drug. He says, a free trade executive says Bitcoin is a gateway drug for millennial traders. I think it's actually the other way around. I actually got into cryptocurrencies because I was into traditional finance. I think the odds of me personally, myself, of ever getting back into traditional finance, or rather stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, excluding real estate because I'm obsessed with real estate, ever getting back into those fields, aside from cryptocurrencies, is I think never going to happen. Do I think Bitcoin is a bit of a gateway to other risky investments? Yes. I think because of Bitcoin, I told you guys these stories before. I've definitely invested in a couple of cryptocurrencies, especially in the very beginning. I mean, I guess it can be chalked up to it's brand new, it's shiny, let me put my money into it. We had things like WorldCoin and Infinity Coin and all these other really random coins that I put my money into. I told you in another video, one of the, you know how like we all have those moments, especially when it comes to like making money, where we look back and we're like, I wish I had never done that. Like, what was the point of me doing that? Especially when you look back, when I first got into it, I had 10 Bitcoin. And I remember I told myself, I was like, I'm never, ever going to sell these things ever. And I sold all my Bitcoin that I had at that time and bought into other coins. Do I think Bitcoin is a gateway? Absolutely. I am hoping that it is a healthy gateway as we go along, simply rather the fact of like making money from it. But I saw this, I thought it was, I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, I don't think it's as hard as these two drugs, but I think there's definitely something. I've found myself many times, I don't know how many other people are really into crypto like I am. I found myself multiple times when I'm like trying to go to sleep, just thinking about cryptocurrencies. But I think I also do it to myself. I wake up in the morning, I make a video, I read about crypto news, I go to the supermarket, I have a crypto podcast, I meet up with friends for like brunch or lunch, and we end up talking about crypto. I come home, I make another video, and then I end up like listening to something else about, like, I watch like other videos about cryptocurrencies and stuff like that before I end up going to bed. So I guess it permeates a tiny bit, but I don't know. I find crypto very exciting. I feel like, and I said this multiple times, I don't think we're ever going to have an opportunity like this in our lives. That's not me telling you to throw your money into the market. I mean, there hasn't been anything like this ever, where we've had an asset that started at less than half a penny and has risen as high as Bitcoin has. And like to see the growth of something that's not only a payment network, but also something that we have given real world value to in US dollars or whatever currency you're trying to, you know, denominate your crypto in. I think it's all very fascinating, and I think this is why we get so excited when we hear about brand new cryptocurrency projects, because it is kind of this gateway to this other world. We all have our own ideas of exactly, I guess, what happiness is, and I guess crypto is kind of that gateway, if you will, to the happiness. Especially, there were news stories last year, which I thought was weird, where they were asking like very young people. And they were split as well, which I thought was kind of odd. They were asking young people who were like just out of university if they planned on investing in cryptocurrencies, and a lot of them said no because they thought that stocks and bonds were less risky, and they didn't mind receiving like a 5% return as opposed to like a 1,000% return. But you also see on the other side, like there are a lot of people who have left traditional finance and like trading and stuff like that, and they've made absolute millions because of crypto. I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting. And I always wonder, I had a lot of friends before who used to be into stocks and stuff like that, and I don't really keep up with them anymore, but I can only assume that a number of them have also switched over to cryptocurrencies because the money's just fantastic, especially like even like during a downtrend. Like you have days where the prices may go down and you buy into something, and like the next day it's up like 8%, and you're like, that would have taken a year in normal stock markets. But anyway, let's move on. I have an issue, and I'm gonna address it right now. And I thought I wasn't or didn't really care to address it. A lot of people have been asking me why every time I say the word Tron or I get into a discussion about Tron that I kind of like huff and puff, or I change my tone and stuff like that. I don't do it on purpose. It has to be, what's the word? Not psychological. Something that happens in the back of your mind without you really realizing it. Tron, I think, and I'll lay it all out right now. I think Tron is a very interesting project. I liked the idea of Tron. I thought Tron sounded ridiculous because I grew up watching the movie Tron. Was it like from the 80s or something like that? When I was a little kid, I used to watch it. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's really cool. So when I heard that there was a cryptocurrency called Tron coming out, for some reason in my head, I can only picture these people in like neon spandex, like driving around and stuff like that. So that's kind of one of the reasons why when I say it, it even feels weird just to say Tron, because I can only associate it to a video game movie. And on the other side, Justin Sun, if you love Tron, go for it. By all means, have fun, have your day in the park, enjoy. I've seen that he's done very questionable things when it comes to the Tron project. There are a lot of people, maybe it could even be the circles that I travel in. I could be completely biased simply because I am a believer in Ethereum. I'm a believer in EOS. I'm a believer in OmiseGo. I am now more or less a believer in Bitcoin, or rather the potential future of where Bitcoin could go. So when I see other projects that kind of float around and haven't really delivered, as far as like if you go to Google and you type in 2018 and type in like Tron partnership, all of the partnerships that Tron is supposed to have had that Justin Sun said weren't actually partnerships. Like when they said they were partnering with that company, some cloud, whatever, something like that, the blah, blah, blah. And the partnership ended up being that Tron was just using their services, and they said it wasn't an actual partnership. Like I said, that's just my honest opinion on it. I still try to talk about Tron news because I do think, even after all of that, I think Tron has too much support that it's not going to do well. I think if we end up having a bull run, Tron is obviously going to do well. I think people mistake me not liking a project with the fact that I think that the price will never go up. I think that's ridiculous to even kind of think that. I.e., there are a number of coins I do not care for, but that doesn't mean the prices of them aren't going to go up. We had an $800 billion market cap last year. There were at least, I could have pointed out around 130 coins to you that I know are not useful and should not be used, but the price of them are definitely going to go up. I think if Tron had actually put a better foot forward, or I don't know, it could just be completely cultural. A lot of things that Justin Sun has done in the past, he's noted that it kind of not customs and stuff like that, but it comes down to this is typically what's accepted or what I have seen accepted before. Like the same exact thing when it came to like the plagiarization of the white paper for Tron. People were looking through it and Justin Sun said, no, this is just kind of how things are done where I'm from. So it could be completely cultural. I don't know the entire thing of it. It also comes down to the fact that, I mean, realistically, I am invested in around 12 to 14 different coins. I have a hard time, in my own opinion, investing in a video game sounding coin. That's just one of the things that I kind of feel about this. The same exact way when I was talking the other day about Mimblewimble and Grin and Beam, I saw the comment section light up and people were like, the name sounds ridiculous. It does sound ridiculous because crypto is a ridiculous place. Bitcoin also sounded completely insane. No one, try to remember the first time you heard the word Bitcoin. It only has a normal sound to it now because you've been in this space for so long. It sounded ridiculous the first time you heard it. I'm pretty sure you laughed the first time you heard someone say the word Bitcoin on the news, or your friend walked up to you and said, have you heard about Bitcoin? You had no idea what was going on. Same exact, I can't shake it with Tron. Yeah, that's how I feel about it. I guess that was the not even reading about what we're supposed to be talking about. That's people keep asking why I don't not like it. Like, I think it has a potential future. Like, people have been, we have a lot of people in the cryptocurrency space who like do like not stress tests. Well, they do stress tests, but like they'll check a platform to see like if it's actually up and running and if it can do well. And Tron does actually run. Like, there are dApps on top of Tron that do work, that do run, that people do use on a daily basis. So it is a workable thing. But it's like, I feel like, and this is just one of my own opinions, I feel like we have enough coins. I feel like every coin that keeps coming out is, like, to be honest, we had like 7 coins that came out last summer that were all trying to be an Ethereum killer or to get rid of Ethereum. I feel like that job can be left up to like one coin. Or maybe even if you're going to try and come for Ethereum, make sure that Ethereum can't ever upgrade. Because the moment Ethereum creates other sidechains and other layered solutions that make it as quick or faster than Tron or any other project, Ethereum is then going to, I guess it comes down to like hedging your bets. This is once again comes down to the tribalism of the cryptocurrency space. So many people think, and I don't get this at all, how many people think that only one coin is going to survive? Do you see only one car type model being driven down the street? Is there only one type of person living in your city? Is there only one website? Is there only one business? Like, is Apple the only company that exists in the entire world? I don't get where that narrative came from. I suggest, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, if you believe that there's probably only going to be one cryptocurrency that survives after all of this, I would just implore you to do your own research. There's not one crypto for only one thing. While technically, yes, you could potentially have a situation where one blockchain could be built up and therefore, you know, be as robust and as useful as every other coin combined. The same argument could also be had for, we could have a situation in the world. Technically, yes, there is a 0.00001% that Amazon could buy up Apple, that they could buy up Samsung, that they could buy up every computer company and every other company in the world and just become this gigantic mega force. It's definitely a possibility if they get enough money, but the odds of it happening are very slim. So I understand being a maximalist of a certain project, but to think that that project's going to be the only one, I'm not sure where that narrative came from. Yeah, I'm trying to be as nice as possible because I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, I keep seeing a lot of people talking about that Ethereum's going to be the only coin and Ethereum's going to be so-and-so, or that Tron is going to... There was something last summer where Justin Sun posted something on his Twitter page, and he was asking people like what they wanted built on top of Tron, and people were like, I want Utron, which is supposed to be like YouTube, and they wanted like Appletron, which was going to be like a Tron computer, and they're asking all these things, and it's like, what is everyone talking about? Like, Tron isn't going to be the only coin. Ramble done. It just open your minds, realize that there are going to be more than one project. Even when you listen to like the hyper Bitcoin maximalists, they typically say that any even if we have a situation where Bitcoin does become the internet money of the internet, it'll probably still encompass around 95 to 98% of the entirety of the cryptocurrency space, according to them. And then we'll still have 2% that'll be comprised of around 20 other coins who still take up a huge portion of the other market cap and also are being used in some sort of other way. I don't know where that narrative came from, but it needs to be squashed right now because I think it's just a bit too intense for my mind. So after all of that, what this kind of comes down to is, where is it? Somewhere around here. Justin Sun asked Vitalik Buterin to help him review the Tron white paper. Good for him. I don't know where that came from. I don't know exactly. I feel like, did you guys see, what was it? What was it last year, or was it the beginning of last year, where Kanye West went on to Twitter and I think he was asking Mark Zuckerberg for like $15 billion or something like that because he was going bankrupt. I feel like there are certain messages that you should send, maybe like through like a direct message, like a DM, or maybe you should like send them like a letter in the mail, like a nice, like nicely written letter with like a stamp on it, like, you know, like, you know, like you pour the candle stuff on it and you stamp it, like really nice, you know, make it look cool. Why you would ask one of your largest rivals? I mean, Vitalik may very well say yes. He may definitely, you know, be nice enough to kind of help him. If you remember before in the past, we've definitely seen Vitalik Buterin shoot acid darts at Justin Sun. So I don't know. Maybe Justin Sun's a very nice guy. I've never met him. Probably not going to meet him. But... yeah, he asked Vitalik Buterin to help him on the Tron white paper. And that's mainly because Tron has been accused of multiple times of actually just copying and plagiarizing and stuff like that. Like I said, once again, he said that it was part of what he thought was okay. It's just a very weird project. Like, there's nothing about Tron that really draws me to it. Like, there's... once again, opinion video. Everything that Tron can do, Ethereum can do. Maybe not as quick, but when Ethereum has Plasma and Constantinople on it, it'll be able to do what Tron can do. Is it that you like the name Tron? You think it sounds cool? Do you like Justin Sun? Do you like the selfies that he keeps uploading? Like, Cardano is also capable of doing what Tron can do. So can XRP. Like, if we have side chains on XRP and on the Ripple protocol, it can do. I don't know. Maybe it's just that people, I don't know. Maybe everyone just has their own thing. Everyone has their own thing that they're really into. Like, I guess I'm into Ethereum because I know a lot about it. I've been into it for quite some time, so I understand the goal of what they're trying to accomplish. Like, I understand what XRP is trying to accomplish. I get what Bitcoin is for. I even get to some sort of way kind of understand what Litecoin is for or why Litecoin is there. I hope, to kind of finish this segment off, I hope that 2019 ends up becoming a year where coins prove themselves. I think we have a lot of space in crypto for multiple projects. I think if there was a better time to kind of prove your worth in the cryptocurrency space, it's kind of now. I would like if many different cryptocurrency projects, especially the one who are talking about that they can beat Ethereum. Like, Justin Sun has been in the news, and there's at least 38 different Tron articles every single week that I just don't include in the videos because a lot of it ends up being like digital fluff, where Justin Sun is talking about that, like, these tokens have migrated from Ethereum and this is going to happen, and he wants like Tron to be like 98% of what Ethereum is and squashing that. And it's like, I was hoping for the most part that 2018 was going to be the time frame where we saw people, or rather cryptocurrency projects, really prove themselves. I guess that maybe that was a lot more difficult because of the bear market. But I mean, I would love to, and I mean in this in all honesty, I think it would get my heart going very fast if we saw a situation where Tron was directly next to Ethereum in the market cap and then kind of past Ethereum. I feel like so much of it is just like people talking about how much better they are or so and so. This is still kind of weird. The fact that he actually, I can only assume that Vitalik probably does not have Justin Sun on his Facebook page. That's just kind of how I feel about it. Anyway, I mean, kind of is what it is. Let's move on from this topic because I think I could actually. I'm almost certain there are certain topics that I talk about in videos. I stop because I get annoyed at myself for talking so long about certain things. I'm almost certain I can make like a 2-hour video just on this topic. I'm not going to do it, but I'm fairly certain I could definitely continue to go on because it's just very fascinating. Like, it's like those people, like, you know, like when you're in school and there's like someone who you just don't like and they come up to you and they try to be your friend, but like you just don't like them, so you can't do it. And you see that they're just so nice, but you still just can't find a way to. I feel like Vitalik Buterin and Justin Sun probably aren't going to be the best of buddies anytime soon. But I feel like genuinely Justin Sun has to be like a really nice person. Like he's, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a jerk. That could be it as well. I don't know. I don't know what I'm like to other people. Anyway, let's continue on. Yeah. So that news aside, somebody did a survey. It was only for a couple thousand people. I think it was like for 5,000 people in China. And they found that 40% of them are apparently willing to invest in cryptocurrencies. The people are doing a lot of these surveys where they're going around and they're asking people, do you know what crypto is? Would you invest in crypto? I think one of them was recently done in Canada or something like that. It's kind of interesting because China at this point is probably never going to get back into crypto. I don't foresee a future where the Chinese government is going to be like, okay, guys, decentralization, let's do it. And they like kind of open up the floodgates once again and allow people to really get back into crypto. We always chat about China at least like every 2 or 3 weeks when it comes to cryptocurrencies. I'm pretty sure they're going to, I don't know. I can't say that they're going to do anything. China's just a very weird, interesting place when it comes to cryptocurrencies. I don't think they're going to allow their people. If China was allowed back into cryptocurrencies, I think the market would completely lose its mind. The market also dropped when we had news that China had actually banned their people from trading crypto because they were such a huge part of it. I saw a documentary before where they were talking about why people in China are becoming so rich, and it's because they went from a period where if you lived in like a Western country, let's even focus on like Europe and let's say like North America, we had a period where we went from people writing checks and stuff like that to us, you know, going from writing checks to like swiping cards and stuff like that and using these payment processors and using Swift. We had this whole transitional period where now we are getting into like the idea of digital currencies and stuff like that, where China transitioned from their former economies and their former the way of life to a situation where they didn't even have a chance to be able to deal in swiping cards and stuff like that or tapping chips, and that they moved completely to like this digital world where they kind of have right now. Like even there was a thing they were showing in the documentary where people have like QR codes and you can, this is how you send people in rural China like money when you're trying to pay them for some soup or whatever you might be buying on the street. So they entered into this world where it was like this hyper digitalization of everything, and they only know a world where digital currencies kind of make sense to them. And this is why we see the same exact thing, not to say that Japan and South Korea went through the same exact thing, but for some reason people in Asia like have this thing where they can completely dominate markets while the rest of the West, I think, simply doesn't, because they become complacent. That's kind of how I feel about it. At least I think a lot of people in the West have become very complacent when it comes to having money or not having to make enough money because they're already comfortable. While people in Asia, this is from what I've read and what I've, this may not be exactly how it is. These are just things that I've read. Apparently are more hungry for it because that they understand it a bit more and they kind of see the future prospects of being rich. I know that sounds a little weird. I think everyone can see the future prospects of what it means to become rich or make money. But apparently other countries around the world seem to get it a bit better. I had hopes for China getting back into the cryptocurrency space. At this point, I don't think it's ever going to happen, at least not in the next 2 or 3 years, simply because of how it is. But it's nice to hear that people there are still willing to invest in cryptocurrencies. It would be nice if the door just opened a tiny bit so they could freely do it. But I think if we have a situation where cryptos do become a dominant force in the world as far as like a payment option and or people using blockchain to do other things, this goes this circumvents the idea behind the Chinese government, and it kind of then becomes a threat to the sovereignty of the government and stuff like that. So it's very, very slim that this is actually going to end up happening. There we go. So I'll read through it and I'll tell you the full story of kind of what's going on. It says, Iran has criminalized any form of involvement in the launch of Telegram, the texting app, Telegram's upcoming cryptocurrency known as Gram. The Tehran Times reported on Monday. The ban is the latest move in the crackdown on the popular messaging application and comes ahead of the highly anticipated launch of Telegram's blockchain network. According to Javad Javidnia, Iran's Secretary of Criminal Content Definition Task Force, the state authorities have decided to prohibit Gram support because of the concerns related to national security and the impact on the local economy. We have a lot of countries right now who are in a interesting spot. They find themselves in an interesting position where they are either being sanctioned by the U.S. and therefore when the U.S. sanctions something, the U.S. The rest of the world has to follow those sanctions. So we have a situation where certain countries are trying to make their own cryptocurrencies. But they're also announcing that they are finding security tokens and also even ICOs to be completely illegal because, I mean, it's difficult. They're afraid of, they say, that it could have to do with like national security, but a lot of countries who have been under a oppressive regime have figured out that social media and cryptocurrencies are pretty much what they need to get out of this section between a rock and a hard place. And there's a huge, I guess you can use the word crackdown, on them trying to do exactly what China is trying to do as far as like blocking all of these things within their country, because we are now at the point, to reiterate this once again, where crypto is large enough, and I think it's interesting that it happened over the course of a 10-year period, where cryptocurrencies are large enough that they can make a difference in many other countries around the world, to the point where imagine your country, wherever you are, imagine your texting app, whatever app you use to text through Wi-Fi and stuff like that. They announce that they're creating their own cryptocurrency and your government bans it or criminalizes it. Like, imagine if Instagram made a cryptocurrency and your government was like, no, you can't have that. So very interesting times. These are the times that were spoken about by many of the early Bitcoin maximalists. We don't have a lot of them have not disappeared, but they're just not in the spotlight as much. I don't know what their main reason is for not being in the spotlight as much anymore. But they were talking about before that we would eventually have these situations where governments would try and crack down on cryptocurrencies as hard as possible, because I think things would change very quick in a number of countries if countries did allow things like this. We've also seen in many, not to get political, we've seen in many other countries as well where protests were happening and people were texting each other through like a new app that the government didn't know about, and people were organizing marches and protests in about like 2 hours as opposed to weeks, and having to put in like a pamphlet to be able to have the right to be able to protest, which is also interesting. But yeah, it appears that Iran has banned support for Telegram's crypto, and I can only assume that they're probably going to ban it as well for Kick and any other project as well that ends up coming up with some type of crypto. Interesting. Next up, Charlie Lee, the creator of Litecoin and the managing director of the Litecoin Foundation, spoke about the reason why Litecoin stood the test of time in an interview with Vlad Kostya from Crypto Insider. On the reason why Litecoin continues to stay in power and succeed, Charlie stated that the first reason is that the coin is fair, adding that people dislike supporting coins and are unfair. He went on to say that the other reason is that the marketing term of the coin being the silver to Bitcoin's gold, stating that it is the kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. He said, so it's easy to understand and it helps people get in and gives them a reason why Litecoin is valuable. And I think just the fact that Litecoin has Light, I assume it's supposed to be Litecoin. That Litecoin has been around the network and it has been very stable, hasn't had any downtime, hasn't been attacked. It's protected by its own basic mining machine. End quote. The idea is that, I don't know. Charlie Lee pretty much is saying that he thinks that Litecoin, he said this for quite a long amount of time as well. This has been his kind of narrative or what he thinks is the reason for Litecoin, that it's meant to be as a supporting player on the cryptocurrency team that is Bitcoin, and it's always supposed to be like a bit of a backup. I myself do have some Litecoin, so I am coming at this more from a not I have it and therefore I'm going to talk about it and hope the price rises, but more like a realistic standpoint. And I know people don't, and I can't apologize for my own opinions because it's just how I kind of think. I feel like there are many, I feel like we have so many cryptocurrencies in this space right now that maybe not all of them are needed. I think Litecoin had a very interesting time in the spotlight, but because of the actions, or rather things that took place in 2017 and 2018, I think that there are at least five other coins that are a lot better and quicker than Litecoin. That's not to say that Litecoin can't scale or will not scale, but I give you this question to ponder. Give me a reason why Litecoin is going to succeed over Tron, over EOS, over OmiseGo, over XRP. We are at a stage right now where multiple protocols can do the exact same thing. We have multiple. The point of Litecoin was meant to be as like a test net for Bitcoin, i.e. if you wanted to test something or implement something on the Bitcoin network, they would use Litecoin almost like a guinea pig. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but it's the honest truth. This is exactly what they would do. And it was kind of weird. Like, it was almost like the people from Litecoin didn't mind as much if their network exploded because it was for the greater good of Bitcoin. That was one thing that I always found a little weird. But what it comes down to is that we have multiple other coins that are better than Litecoin. They're quicker. They're more robust. Litecoin is getting like a bit of a boost right now because it looks like Lightning and a number of other things that are on top of Bitcoin are either on the Litecoin or are going to be added to Litecoin. I can see the reason, or rather, it's just really weird. I think so much of crypto, I'm waiting for the market to finally move. I think that's the nicest way of saying it. I think Litecoin will succeed if we get confirmation that Bakkt is going to use it, if it's going to be added to the NASDAQ, and if other like major cryptocurrency funds end up adding it to their fund. And I mean like as far as like venture capital firms and like hedge funds and stuff like that. Like, we do have a lot of crypto hedge funds. They've typically denominated themselves, it's usually like 50% Bitcoin, and then it goes down to Ethereum, and then XRP, and then EOS, and like a slew of other random coins. But I don't know. It's very, and I have to just be honest, because it's not a situation. I hope that we've grown past this point where I have to not baby other people, but have to kind of like, I find so many other YouTube crypto channels are just fluff, and they give you what you want to hear just so that you kind of click on their video. But if I come from it from an actual like investor standpoint, and I mean like the purpose of making money, when the market does go up, yes, Litecoin is going to go up, but from a long-term perspective, unless Litecoin ends up finding a way to kind of diversify itself, isn't what I'm trying to say, like unless they really find a way to segregate themselves and to make themselves be like a market leader. Like, we know why Ethereum exists. We know why Bitcoin exists. We know why XRP is around. We know the purpose of EOS. We know the gaming platform that is meant to be Tron. But to be used as a test net for Litecoin, or to be like something complementary to Litecoin, that doesn't seem like a use case for me. It doesn't seem like something that is necessary. I have my own cripes with Charlie Lee simply because he keeps pushing this narrative that his coin is meant to be something that's meant to like stand behind Bitcoin holding a shield as Bitcoin fights with a sword, and then kind of pat Bitcoin on the back after and say, yeah, you did a good job. Yeah, I'm here. I'm your, what do they call it, a wingman? That's kind of, I don't know, it's very weird. One of the reasons why Litecoin could probably succeed as well is simply because of the name. Because it's been around long enough, and the fact that it hasn't collapsed is kind of the same narrative where that you get from like people who talk about Bitcoin and like Bitcoin surviving. They say that any day that Bitcoin's network hasn't been compromised or hasn't been destroyed or is still around is one more day that the blockchain gets longer and more robust, and therefore the network is more secure by the number of people who are on the network, as more people are constantly coming in every day. I guess the same thing could be happening for Litecoin, but from an investor perspective, if you've been here since September or before, and you've listened to the news, Litecoin is never really in the news. Like Litecoin goes up in price certain days, and people are they talk to me like, "Man, you're wrong." Like, see, Litecoin's going up in price. Yeah, because other people have it. Like everyone hasn't cashed out of Litecoin. Of course, the price is going to go up at some point. But if it's useful, odds are it's looking very slim. If we can get a Litecoin that has Lightning on top of it and that has multiple other side chains, and they try to make themselves like a gaming platform or the platform where, like, imagine Litecoin trying to become the platform where like people write like government smart contracts, or like where things from governments are settled on top of Litecoin. Like that is something completely different. But I feel like Litecoin is just a very sheepish, it's like a very shy project, and I wish it had a bit more like oomph to it. The same exact way with Dogecoin. Like Dogecoin started out as a joke, but the creator decided to make sure that the coin was completely inflationary forever and just would kind of continue that way. And now Dogecoin is just a joke coin when it could have been so much more. Once again, my opinion. There's a lot of my opinion in this video. I mean, like I said, there's so much happening in the cryptocurrency space, and I, not that I was trying to be nice before. I'm pretty sure you've heard my like heavy ideas and my opinions and my comments on stuff. But I was clicking through YouTube yesterday, and I was completely shocked. I was looking for information on, I don't remember what coin it was, but the news that was flying around was just like fluff news. Like everything that's going on in other cryptocurrency channels, 98% of them is just people telling other people that their investments are secure, that you're going to be rich. I thought we had ended the whole like Lambo phase. You're going to be rich. Oh my gosh. Like just buy into this one specific coin and you're going to become a millionaire. But apparently that's still going on. So you may not like what I have to say, but I will tell you the most honest opinion. I drown myself in crypto 24 hours a day. It's pretty much all that I do. Like if I'm not seeing my friends or if I'm not out eating somewhere, I make sure that all I'm doing is learning about cryptocurrencies. Litecoin isn't it. Litecoin isn't the coin that people are betting big money on. Like it's now other, like this is a reason why we were talking about before, like that EOS has like a $4 billion fund. All these other coins, all these other projects, I'm sure you've noticed. This is why I said if you've been here since September, you've noticed when Litecoin is in the news, it's typically Charlie Lee talking about why Litecoin has a use case. It's never really talking about why Litecoin is spectacularly amazing and why it's going to survive and why the New York Stock Exchange is, from the get-go, they're only going to launch Bitcoin and Litecoin. I don't know. You get what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure you all got it. So there's without reading through it, because it's a lot of text, they talk about the scalability issue that we have in the cryptocurrency space when it comes to being able to make sure that cryptocurrency projects and blockchains are able to expand properly in all directions to be able to handle a number of transactions that they have on their network. There's a research paper from Cardano or about Cardano where they talk about like new side chains that are going to allow proof of stake. I have my own opinions about Cardano as well. I love Cardano. I think the idea of Cardano is very cool, but I feel like a large part of it hasn't been executed. And once again, feel free to scream at me or post links as to exactly where I'm wrong. A large part of Cardano has kind of also been, when I read about Cardano, when I look for information about Cardano, The Cardano project isn't finished. I know that Cardano has launched, but there are still a number of upgrades that are meant to be put on top of the Cardano blockchain, the Cardano system, that have not been fully implemented, and this is not going to completely happen until the year 2020. And I remember talking about this and reading over it and going over it multiple times and having done my own research, because there was a video that I made, I think sometime the beginning of 2018 or even the end of 2017, where people were screaming at me and they were telling me that I was an idiot because I hadn't done my own research, which I had, and that I just didn't simply understand the Cardano project. And I told people to please explain it to me, and people were just sending me the exact same articles that I had found myself. Cardano is fascinating in that if it does officially work out, it is going to completely change the cryptocurrency space. But I told you this was definitely in 2018, because I remember thinking in my head it's still 2 years away. And I also mentioned in a video that 2 years in the cryptocurrency space is an incredibly long time. That they need to kind of get to it and kind of activate all of these things. A lot of people believe that proof of stake does not actually work. I have listened to many a podcast with them talking about this, and they say, so the idea behind, oh my gosh, like crypto politics are crazy. You assume that when you get into the cryptocurrency space, that not that it would all be like roses and flowers and honey. I don't think that's definitely not a saying, but you kind of get what I'm saying. It would be like very smooth and clean and nice, and it's not, because you have two different forms of creating coins, and one of them is energy intensive, but according to experts they believe that it's the only way as a solution that we have right now to be able to create cryptocurrencies and to keep the network safe. Because if you have everyone using tons of computing power and, you know, the ASIC cards and so to keep the network safe, if you destroy a huge portion of them, the rest of the network is still secure. And I mean, it's just so much. Like, crypto is a very weird place, because I don't think we'll ever actually have a proper answer to any of this. Like, even when Bitcoin was first started and Ethereum came out, I was listening to something yesterday in a podcast, and they were talking about like the progress that Ethereum has made. And one of the first things that that Vitalik Buterin came up with as far as like why Ethereum was very different than Bitcoin came down to the idea of proof of stake. Because up until this point, we only had a situation where you were able to use your computer to be able to mine Bitcoin. When that was completely surpassed and you had to buy like other hardware, it was then that you needed these massive computers to be able to keep the network safe. And this is this was the safest way that we found to be able to mine cryptocurrencies, and also to be able to keep the network safe by validating the transaction. So when Ethereum came out and they came up with the idea of proof of stake and being able to simply do this on your own computer, or that you wouldn't need, that you would simply need like a mining pool or on your own computer to be able to do it, a lot of questions have been raised. When you listen to the actual experts, a large number of experts say that proof of stake is not secure, and that I think, and I'm pretty sure this is also happening. Sorry. A large number of other people are also looking for another solution, because these aren't the only ways. Don't think that proof of stake and proof of work are the only ways to mine. It's just that these are the only ways to mine cryptocurrencies that we know of right now. There's also like delegated proof of stake. There are other ways to do things, but as of right now, we only know proof of stake and plugging in 1,000 computers to be able to mine something as the way to create these cryptocurrencies. I'm sure there'll be another way eventually. A lot of coins, and this isn't Cardano exclusive, a lot of coins are going to have a number of sidechains, because as far as we know, even these majorly cool, awesome projects, they all still have limitations. Like they have situations where your coin may be able to do 5,000 transactions, 10,000 transactions per second, but there's usually even a limit to that, unless you like hard fork, do stuff that isn't as decentralized, and you kind of make moves by yourself or centralize the project a bit more. Not to say that this is going to happen with Cardano, but you get what I'm saying, where things are tightened a bit more. So that you can have, this is the reason why Binance can handle, I think Binance can handle 1 million transactions per second. This is what I'm pretty sure Changpeng Zhao said before. is because they have a centralized space. So if you don't want a centralized thing, you're going to have side chains, and you're going to have second layer solutions, which also then leads us to the other discussion of people talking about that you don't need these things for Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Cash SV. But at the moment, this technology is not perfect. It'll probably never be perfect because nothing in our world is perfect. But in order to get to some sort of a level of perfection, it seems that as of right now, in order to mature this technology, that we do need second layer solutions and we do need side chains. Like I said, I like Cardano. I have Cardano. I think Cardano is going to do incredibly well price-wise. But a large, it just, I don't know. I'm 2018, I was expecting something else. And I've said that before. I'm tired of saying it as well. But I want crypto to kind of move forward. It seems like everything is just a research paper, or we have like a lot of like proof of concepts, or like people talking about that something is going to work. 3 years later, they show that the thing is actually doable, and then it still takes another like 2 or 3 years to be able to implement. I understand the need for taking its time, but I've always felt that like the rest of the world isn't going to wait. Like it may be. So I was listening to, I'm sure you take a shot of tea every time I said I was listening to. You'd have a lot of antioxidants in your body. They were talking about the reason why Bitcoin takes so long to upgrade and to update and stuff like that is because the Bitcoin core team believes even if it takes like 15 years to be able to upgrade or update some systems, that they are completely okay with that because they just want... They want the network to be as safe and secure as possible and for things to like take their time. So they're okay with taking 5 to 10 years to implement one upgrade just to make sure that nothing really goes wrong. And I get that. I completely got that. But on the, you know, the normal side of how things really work, no one's going to really wait around for that long. And this is why I think that so many other solutions are being proposed for Bitcoin. Because as far as any other upgrade to the Bitcoin system, that's probably never, ever, 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 ever going to happen. When you listen to the people who are from Blockstream, it appears that Bitcoin as a chain is always going to be the same, and that is probably going to have like thousands of side chains. The same with these other projects. Like I said, this isn't a Cardano exclusive thing. I think when people hear side chains, they get a bit upset. Even as of now, like we know that Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Cash SV also have limitations. Like Bitcoin Cash /SV aren't going to be able to do 1 million transactions per second on their blockchain without some other type of second layer solution or something else. Like it's just not feasibly possible. Like you can listen to the people who do these projects, who are like some of the most intelligent people in the entire world who are building these blockchains. They all say the exact same thing. They say there are limitations, and this is the reason why we have side chains and other layered solutions. Anyway, let's move on from this topic. I think it's very interesting. I want to say that Cardano is going to do well, but it's very difficult to say. There were coins about 2 years ago that I also thought were going to do very well. But I think a lot of times coins kind of trip over themselves, or like a lot of things that are concepts just kind of remain concepts, because you can say I created a cell phone that can fly through the air and can transport people from New York to Beijing. And it's a great concept, but you have to kind of get it to work. Not to say that Cardano's a mobile phone that's trying to take people to Beijing. It's just, I don't know. So much of crypto is, I can't even say that it's just talk. It's just, I think everyone's trying to figure out a solution to things, but I think things could be a lot more simpler. I think everyone is trying to kind of like outdo everyone. Everyone wants to have like this new, cool, amazing thing that no one else has ever heard of before. And I feel like if we just kind of simplified it and just kept on adding side chains and stuff like that, like even when they the people who were talking about why Bitcoin is never probably going to change, is because they found out that even if with the implementation, sorry, I had to stretch my back. I've been sitting in the same position for a while. Talking about why Lightning is so important is because they figured out that they can, with like side chain solutions and the use of the Lightning network, You can build dApps, you can build ICOs and all this other stuff on top of Bitcoin just through the Lightning Network solution and other side chains and other layered solutions and stuff like that. It's kind of interesting. But let's move a little further. We spoke about part of this, I think yesterday or maybe the day before. Jed McCaleb, who is the co-founder of Ripple and Stellar, is back in the spotlight because of his recent remarks concerning other projects in the cryptocurrency space. McCaleb spoke about the progress of Stellar's acquisition of Chain and the bear market in an interview with Yahoo Finance. The CTO of Stellar started by elucidating on Stellar's recent acquisition of Chain. In the month of September 2018, Chain, that not really important, who really cares, okay? McCaleb was also asked about the progress of the integration of the companies and how it fits in the financial space. Also not that interesting. Where is it? My goodness. To this, the co-founder stated that the major factor that kept Chain motivated was the need for a public network. He said, I think it's true that most financial institutions are not going to use Bitcoin, but in my mind, what blockchain gives you is a public record that everyone can see, but they can't change it. So parties can transact even if they don't know each other. So you still need a public chain. It doesn't need to be the Bitcoin blockchain, but if it's not a public chain, then you're missing the point, end quote. For some reason, Mr. McCaleb thinks, and this was in the other video and I think another article that I also didn't have, Jed McCaleb has said that he thinks the only coins that should be around are Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Stellar. He's also said that he thinks that financial institutions and I also other places as well are also not going to use Bitcoin. So they're probably not going to use Stellar. So I can only ascertain from his statement that he means that Ethereum is going to be the only coin. I know that's not what he means. I don't know. It's just it's very weird. I think Jed McCaleb's an interesting person. I feel like in my own opinion, myself, I think Stellar is not relevant at all anymore. The point of Stellar being created by Jed McCaleb and creating the Stellar Foundation Institution, whatever it's called, was to get a one-up on Ripple, which it has not done and it is not going to do, regardless of the one or two partnerships that Stellar does have. Stellar isn't it's not competition to Bitcoin. It's not competition to Ethereum. I think XRP has left it in the dust. I feel like Litecoin has more of a use case than Stellar. Side note, because I feel like people want to hear this or know this, I do own a bit of Stellar, not an enormous amount. I do keep in mind this is a I want to make money channel, so I do think that holding, potentially, in my personal opinion, that holding some Stellar could result in the next bull run and you making money. Just going to leave it that way. But I feel like that the people from there. Okay, I'll put it to you this way. What's the saying? It's like the people who scream the loudest have the least to say. I feel like that Jed McCaleb realizes that a large part of the projects that he's done in the cryptocurrency space are no longer relevant, and I think that Stellar is one of them. I don't foresee a future where Stellar is going to be this massive platform. The Ripple team, if you look at the news that they have in the countries that they're opening up, I think they just opened up an office in China or something like that. Like they are making sure that they get to every single edge of the corner, and they're focusing on countries that don't like SWIFT or maybe are trying to find an alternative to the current financial system that we have right now to be able to, maybe even they want to get into cryptocurrencies, and the Ripple team is there for that. If you remember, because I remember, for the larger part or all of 2018 and part of 2017, we really didn't hear anything from the Stellar team about any partnerships. During the course of 2017 and 18, Ripple acquired around, I think, 300 like actual partnerships, not like we're using their cloud services, like we are actually partnered with them. And then those banks came forward and said that they were going to use the either RippleNet or that they were the institutions who announced that they were going to be using XRapid. Once again, tell me if I'm wrong. find me of the 300 that we know about that Ripple has acquired over the past 14 months, find me five that Stellar partnered with, and I don't mean their IBM thing, that we also got news about that they were planning on using their blockchain but not their actual token. This is not me. I mean, you all have to understand, crypto is going to change very quickly. I try my best, and I mean this in earnest. If you've been here for a while, you know I mean this. I try to give you who I believe are going to be the winners. I hate the word shill. It sounds like an illness. I try not to boast about or tell you about coins that I don't think are going to make it. I absorb crypto all day. It's all I do. Stellar does not have the same clout as Ripple. They are probably never going to have that same clout or that same energy. Neither is Stellar ever going to ever going to get to the point of Bitcoin, ever. Neither, and I would be shocked if they ever made it past Ethereum. Once again, I'm feeling very opinionated today, so maybe this is the reason why I'm sharing so much stuff with everybody, but I feel like people are losing focus on as to exactly what's happening in the cryptocurrency space and what is really going on. Remember the video that I made? It was a couple of months ago, and I think the market had just gone down once again because of Bitcoin Cash SV, and I made a video about like the actual like future of Bitcoin, and I spoke about like, remember, it was like 38 tabs, and I went over all the things that were happening. I think everyone is so focused on acquiring altcoins or acquiring coins that are less than 1 cent or that are 1 cent or that all these other things. Like I'll definitely tell you about coins that will go up in value, that will make you money. At least in the 1 to 2 year term. Like I'll tell you about Ken, I'll tell you about so-and-so, I'll tell you about all these other coins. But the main focus, if you're into crypto for 2 years, you plan on making 100K, cashing out and buying a tiny house, more power to you. Then this is, you know, I'm here for you. If you plan on holding on to your crypto for the 5 to 10 year period, I am definitely also here for you, and you should be paying attention to the coins that are being heavily focused on. When you hear about people on Wall Street and in NASDAQ talking about, remember the other stock exchanges around the world who were talking about that they were also going to be launching their own cryptocurrency trading platforms and their cryptocurrency this, and they're going to have derivatives and they're going to have so-and-so in their futures markets and their blah, blah, blah. It focused around about five coins, and Stellar was never one of them. So this is why I think it's kind of weird that so many platforms and so many cryptocurrency exchanges and cryptocurrency whatever are like aiming shots randomly in the dark at anyone who they possibly can to try and discredit them. I don't know exactly what their main overall point is, but I think they're doing it out of simple desperation. This is why I think we also see like so much fighting between like on stage between Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Cash SV. While the people from Stellar have been kind of going off at the mouth, I think it's just another way of them to kind of ease their own frustrations. Because, I mean, it has to kind of suck. Imagine dedicating 5 years of your life or 4 years of your life to creating a platform that nobody wants to use, or that you had like one major company talking about using it. And then, I mean, especially if you left Ripple because you were trying to create something that was going to be bigger than Ripple, and then you failed publicly and everyone has like records of that. Like it's not even like this is like something happening behind the scenes like we just can't like find documentation on. Like even on Ripple's page, they have an entire section where they show like the top like 100 of their partnerships, and that's not even the other one. Someone, I don't remember who this person is, I found it on Reddit somewhere, there's actually someone who documents like in PDF form, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to find it, like all of Ripple's partnerships, and then you keep scrolling for like 13 and a half minutes and they're just all there. Once again, I think if you are into Stellar to make money, I think you are probably in the right place. I think especially right now where the price is, not financial advice, if you are already holding Stellar, I think logically if we end up having a bull run up to even where we were before in prices, you stand to make a nice chunk of change. However, for the future, 10 years from now, I don't see Stellar being competition to anything unless 2019 completely surprises me and Jed McCaleb this entire time has been hiding 150 partnerships that he plans on announcing every other day during the course of 2019, then I'll be like, okay, they're definitely better than Ripple. To that point, I think this is just another coin that I don't think that we need, that I think that was created out of spite. Same with many other coins. Like a lot of the other Ethereum killers that we have are from people who used to work with Ethereum or through the Bitcoin core team, and they left and created their own coin, and now their coins are kind of floundering. So I can only imagine what that's doing to them psychologically. But yeah, let's move on. Here we go. Here's another one. Roger Ver, who is the popular advocate of Bitcoin Cash and the chief executive officer of Bitcoin.com, crazy, had offered $1.2 million to OpenNode, which is a Lightning Network software to build on top of Bitcoin Cash. However, this offer by Roger Ver was declined by the company. According to Crypto Slate, the company stated that our vision of a better, more open financial system is only possible with Bitcoin. Ver, in his video of Bitcoin.com, stated that the scaling limitations of Bitcoin and the Lightning Network, he mentioned that off-chain scaling use of the Lightning Network for 10 billion people might take over 100 years for Bitcoin. However, Bitcoin Cash advocate bragged about on-chain scaling of Bitcoin Cash would only take over 40 years. A lot of that's incorrect. Pretty much all of it. This made news earlier this week. Obviously, this is why the news that I missed, where people were talking about that he offered someone or a company $1.25 million and they completely rejected them. Imagine what that... Oh my gosh. Can you imagine offering somebody money and that much money and they tell you no? And then they announce that they only plan on doing this on the real Bitcoin. It is not going to take... 100 years for Bitcoin to become large enough with the Lightning Network. It may logically only take until the end of 2019, if not 2020. The speed at which the Lightning Network is actually expanding on the Bitcoin network is actually completely insane. We don't logically need we don't need 100 years. I know the simplest way of saying it. We need probably about a 10 to 20x of where the Lightning Network is right now as far as the capacity of the amount of Bitcoin on it to be able to properly handle everything. What the Lightning Network pretty much does right now is it's like a, not a cushion, it's like it's relieving stress from the Bitcoin network. This is why we've seen so many other Lightning Network apps and nodes and stuff like that coming out, because it's operational. It may not be as large as we need it at this moment, but... Roger Ver in the past has, I told you guys in another video, he's changed the name for some reason, and I don't understand why you would do this. I don't get it. On Bitcoin.com, which Bitcoin Cash owns, they had a section where you could actually buy cryptocurrencies, and they were offering both Bitcoin, the number one coin, and Bitcoin Cash on their website. But they changed the name of the number one coin to Bitcoin Core, and they changed the name of Bitcoin Cash to simply Bitcoin so that people would get confused and people were buying Bitcoin Cash, which said it was just Bitcoin, trying to send it to their actual Bitcoin wallet, the number one coin wallet, and it wasn't working. Wonder why. So he said stuff like this before. This is also, I think, out of desperation. This is another coin that I personally don't, and I'll tell you exactly why. I don't even care. Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Cash SV, in my opinion, don't need to exist. Regardless of, I don't understand this. This comes down to the one coin argument once again. I don't know where this narrative came from, that there's only going to be one coin, that there's only one solution to scaling Bitcoin, that there's only one way that Satoshi would have wanted. No one knows Satoshi. No one knows what he wants. No one knows where he is. He's not messaging anyone. He's not emailing anyone. Craig Wright isn't Satoshi. Roger Ver said before that he was Satoshi. He's not Satoshi. He's definitely not Satoshi. We know for a fact right now that Bitcoin is not going to scale. The main core chain is not going to scale at all. It's going to remain the same exact way unless they come up with a proposal that is agreed on by the entirety of the network that will have something implemented on top of it. This is the only option. But we will have side chain solutions such as the Lightning Network, which I think is funny that Roger Ver is also trying to get Lightning Network put on top of Bitcoin Cash. Think about that. These coins don't need to exist because we have Bitcoin. Everything that these coins can do, Bitcoin can also do, regardless of the block size debate. We know that there's another solution to be able to handle 1 million transactions per second. And it's exactly what he's trying to get put on top of Bitcoin Cash. It's the Lightning Network. We know that it's possible. We know that it works. It's been tested. It's been used the entirety of 2018. We know that, like everything else, coding isn't perfect, but we know that the Lightning Network does function, and that as time goes on and more people are working on it and more people continue to join it, that it's going to be worked on. It's going to become more robust. I wish if you can explain to me, explain to me exactly why we need Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Cash SV over Bitcoin when we know that Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Cash SV can have the same exact layered solutions on top of them, making them all the quickest. Why spend your time investing in coins that we probably know aren't going to make it? You should be able to feel in your heart that there's never going to be a point where you're going into a Starbucks and you're telling them, I'm paying in Bitcoin Cash Satoshi's vision. Those words will never pass your lips because you're never going to say them. You know it. I know it. We all know it. If we know that Bitcoin as a core is slow, but the other layer solutions that are being working on it, especially with Mimblewimble being a proposition for it, Schnorr is also, like, we have all these things that can be built, and we know they can be built on top of Bitcoin. What's the point of a forked coin that doesn't really serve a purpose? Please let me know, because I've tried to have this conversation with other people, and it ends up with them kind of screaming at me and telling me that I don't get it. Yeah, I don't get it because you don't explain it to me. Like, I want to desperately understand why we need Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin Cash SV, Bitcoin Diamond, Bitcoin Gold, Bitcoin Green, which is supposed to be, I think, like a proof of stake coin, or like they claim to be like the greenest Bitcoin. Why do we need these things if we know that everything can be worked on top of Bitcoin? Please let me know. I am desperate to understand the inner workings of why this has to be a thing. That's probably... Nope, this is definitely not even supposed to be in the video. Nope. I have no idea why I even clicked on that. Nope, that's very weird. Anyway. What's this one? It says, in a recent tweet... someone named Philip Nunn, I don't remember the point of this. Philip Nunn explained that although Bitcoin is more decentralized than XRP, most of the mining activity takes place in China, which can be dangerous for Bitcoin. Bitcoin and XRP are two of the largest virtual currencies in the market. XRP has been growing in the industry as a fast and cheap coin to process cross-border transactions. There are several banking companies that are already connected to the Ripple network. Very weird. I think I know exactly what's going on. Before I made this video, my computer... is bad. I think I actually have to get a new one, and that's not even like a joke anymore. For some reason, if I have too many tabs open, it kind of like freezes itself, and like it's very, very odd. Like, this is like probably pushing my computer to its limits. And I had to like restart my computer, and I must have clicked on something, because a lot of these are things that I just didn't really want to talk about, so I don't really understand why they're kind of here. Maybe somewhere along the way they opened themselves because they desperately wanted to be spoken about. That could also be a thing. I see no reason why I opened up an article about Bitcoin being decentralized, but XRP in China, which can be dangerous to Bitcoin. I don't understand. That was the last one. Oh, yeah. So anyway, to kind of really finish things off, this made headlines. Internet retailer known as Overstock has announced that it intends to become the very first major U.S.-based company to pay part of its state business tax in Ohio using Bitcoin. I think a couple of weeks ago or something like that, that it's now legally allowed in the state of Ohio to pay your taxes in cryptocurrencies, and for some reason this made headlines all over the place because the way that the articles were writing it out, like here, is that Overstock was paying all of their taxes all over the place across the entirety of the U.S. exclusively in Bitcoin, and then you find out that they're only paying their taxes in Ohio, and then it's also part of their tax using Bitcoin, which means that the other half is going to be in fiat. I mean, it's kind of cool. Maybe kind of. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think we're going to eventually get to this point anyway. There was an article, and I'm pretty sure, I think it was from 2013. I'm pretty sure you'll be able to find it. It's called like, I think the, what was it? Type in like IRS pay taxes Bitcoin 2013. You should be able to find it. There was an article many years ago where people were talking about and how excited they were that you could finally pay your taxes to the IRS through Bitcoin, and how this was like a new turn for the cryptocurrency space. And apparently that was also like not really a thing. Like, I think there was some section of the IRS, I think you could like send them your Bitcoin and then they would transfer it into fiat and whatever the case might be. So yeah, that's kind of cool that they decided to do that. I think it's a bit weird, simply because I personally would not want to sell any of my cryptocurrencies with the prices this low. But if they feel like they're, you know, doing something for the greater good of crypto, then go for it. I hope they can accumulate all those Bitcoin once again, because one can only assume, as a major company, if Overstock is paying their taxes, or at least part of it, in Bitcoin, unless it's like one Bitcoin, that would still be part of it. That, how weird would that be if this made headlines because they plan on paying their taxes in Bitcoin, but they plan on just paying like $4,000 of like a $23 million tax bill just in Bitcoin? That'd be kind of clever. But once again, this was one of the first companies, Overstock, who actually accepted Bitcoin at all as a form of payment. And I can only assume since those years, the money that they've made has completely ballooned because of the price of Bitcoin going up. But the fact that they would sell their Bitcoin at all, especially to a government, is kind of weird. Just kind of my own personal opinion. Anyway, I think that's definitely going to do it for this video. Hope you enjoyed all of my opinions. I have a lot of them. I think crypto's at a very weird... I have no idea what Maker was here. It says Maker makes a minor leap as market declines. Who cares? Sorry. I mean, wow, that's cool. Yeah, Maker. I've never heard of... Who uses Maker? If you've used Maker or have invested in Maker, please raise your hand. There's so many coins. If you ever get a chance, and if you have like 10 minutes one day, scroll through like the coin market prices, wherever you get your... Everyone has their own section where they like to get their own numbers and stuff like that. Now, like, look at the crypto prices and look at the names of some of the coins, and like, look into the projects. It's just such like obscure things. And I can already feel someone's going to scream at me in the comment section, because I'm pretty sure Maker is this super amazing, innovative coin that does this, that's going to be laid on top of this, that's going to make you a millionaire, and so and so and so. I've seen the comment section before. Like, really look at the coins that are out there. Some of them are just completely, like, you wonder who made these things. But I mean, we also had a situation in 2018 where we had over 1,000 coins completely collapse because they have no purpose, and they're probably not going to be adopted by any major institution anytime soon. But, oh yeah, as always, please, and I mean this in earnest, make sure to always do your own research. Even if you have done your research, do a little bit more. Always know what you have your money in. Look for news about what you have your money in to make sure that they are doing okay. The long-term prospects of what you have your money in, because a lot of cryptocurrency projects just are not real. Hope you all enjoyed. Hope you all are having a great day, a great morning, a great afternoon, a great evening, wherever you are, wherever you might be. Hope it's absolutely fantastic. Thank you all once again for watching and or listening. I think that's going to do it for that. I have a bit more ranting in me, but I think I'll let it go. Yeah, crypto's in a very weird spot right now. And I feel like it had to do with the... How do I say this? 2018 was... Remember the price predictions that we had for Bitcoin, where people were talking about that Bitcoin was going to go to 150,000 by the end of 2018. Bitcoin was going to be 75,000. I think a lot of that completely evaporated in the minds of people who are making other cryptocurrency projects. And I think it's kind of really getting to them. Like... when remember when Bitcoin Cash was created? I think Roger Ver said in 2018, keep that number in mind, that Bitcoin Cash was going to be called the real Bitcoin, that they would simply drop the name because it would have taken the number one spot. Didn't happen, obviously, but I think a lot of people had delusions of grandeur that are never going to happen. And yeah, I think that's going to do it for this video. I'm horrible at any of these things, and I will talk to you all soon. See you.